This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, Friday style. Glad to have you along. And once again, the event happening tomorrow, Ed's Seafood Shed, honoring Horace Bubba Jackson. If you think about the deep history of veterans and service in our community, you look at men like Bubba Jackson and stand in awe of them. So so many of y'all on the text line. I've got, I think, overabundance of Marines listening to the show. You got Uraz up and down the line. All right, good to see this man back in studio. Paul Prine, former police chief of Mobile Police Department. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Sean.
Okay, so where do we start? I wrote one thing down here to start. Okay, this week, the story that has so many people talking is the findings in the Kenyon Brown report.
Right.
And so I'm going to ask you this question, your thoughts on that, but I'm not going to say your thoughts on it. Is it omission or commission? You know, you look at this and I look through the report and I said some things yesterday with the mayor, said some things this week. Is this shoddy work or is this work that was purposeful and where it went?
Your purposeful thought. And where it went, it's intentional. It was designed to oust me out of office. It certainly attacked the members of the police department, their leadership. And then, of course, now we know with the allegations made against a longtime administrator, it's one thing if you have a report and there's one omission in there. But when you have systemic omissions or commissions, as you stated, page after page after page, no doubt in my mind that it was an intentional work of art to certainly disparage the leadership of the police department and no doubt disparage my leadership.
By design.
By design.
So I want to ask you about that because I asked the mayor yesterday. I said, did this report lead to your firing? He said no. It sounds like you don't.
Emphatically, I think you asked him twice over the entire segment, and absolutely it was. If you'll look at the original severance that I was received on March the 27th, it came out and stated that they would either mitigate or not mitigate the Kenyon Brown report based on which option I chose to take. I think if you look at that option two, and you look in hindsight over the last 4 weeks, they threatened to disparage me if I did not take the option, and I think we can look back now in the rearview mirror and simply say they did exactly what they said they were going to do.
So when this, what was the situation between you and the mayor's office at the time that you found out the report was going to be started, or whatever the term had begun?
Yeah, so it really goes back, and I think the mayor did say early in my tenure, 2.5 years ago, I think what it comes down to really is that lust for power and the power struggle, okay? James Barber's the de facto mayor, the chief of staff, used to be the chief of police, and it's not relinquishing control. There's a lot of moving parts to it, but it really came to a head back in October, November of 2023, last year.
Okay.
When I filed the first complaint against James Barber.
That was the grievance you had talked about.
That's right. Yeah. And it's some unethical issues. And that was in November. And November, incidentally, was the same time frame that the talk about bringing in Kenyon Brown to do this third party report. You know, the readers or your listeners can decide if that was vindictive action or not. The mayor was right. There was conversation between C.G. Smalls and the mayor's office about bringing in a third party review. But now we know that with Project Thrive, with Kenyon and James Barber being on the board of directors together with Project Thrive, we look at their history. The mayor alluded to two of the national programs that were adopted out of MPD. Incidentally, one of them was my program that was stolen, Bridging the Gap. I've never said that publicly, but thanks to Barber, he took that and ran with it. He did give it the name.
And Bridging the Gap does.
And Bridging the Gap really is working with some of the youth in our community, and it's about perspectives. It's about showing and teaching them what law enforcement do and why we do, and certainly getting their perspective on how law enforcement is viewed in their eyes. And I think it was a great program. Now, I will give Jimmy some credit. He did give it a name.
Okay.
But he also admitted to me that he stole the program. I think it was out of jest, but under my current rank and position at the time in 2015, you know, I really wasn't in a position to kind of stop him. But nonetheless, I think one of the things that was troubling for me, and and hearing that is, you know, the mayor was emphatic. The Brown report had nothing to do with my ousting, but yet we know from the onset, he said that there was an issue with the Brown report. The preliminary findings would suggest that my practices didn't line up with policies, and that was the reason I was walked out the door. And then, of course, we know over the last 4 or 5 weeks, then it went from, well, I said a thing 2.5 years ago, then it went to...
Which you have, let me stop on that.
Sure.
We'll pick, but you said this before sitting in the studio. Did you say the thing they said you said about
I don't
the
really know. It's changed a couple of times and something to the effect of F the public. Now, if you would have asked me that last year during the summer of 2023, I might have, because we were all getting beat up and probably rightfully so from activists and some folks in the community. You know, it was unfortunate. We had a string of events with officer-involved incidences. But early in my tenure, I don't know that I said that. And we're talking about something that I supposedly have said 2.5 years ago. Now, they've interviewed specific people. The investigation wasn't about me, but nonetheless, who put the schedule together for Kenyon Brown to interview? Kenyon Brown never had a conversation with me.
You were not interviewed.
No. Well, I was interviewed. But nonetheless, he did not ask me specifically about what I said 2.5 years ago. Now, if I'm the target of this investigation, would you not, if I'm the target of the
Did you say this, Brian?
Yeah. Did you say it? Absolutely. And whether I said it or not, we don't terminate people.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It seems like a molehill, not a mountain.
Yeah.
Right? If you did say it. It seems like that wouldn't be the reason for this. It seems like this may be a proxy for something else, and that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Well, I think if I said anything, it was taken out of context, and we have to understand who was interviewed. You've got three officers, if you've read the report, that were interviewed on one squad out of the entire nearly 500-man department. If you can say with facts that you have three officers that said the chief said a thing, and you've got other command staff members that were present that said the chief didn't say a thing, then how do you surmise that the chief did say a thing, and who put the schedule together of individuals to be interviewed? So the seed had to be planted in order for that to take precedence in that investigation, and I have my theories on that, but I will tell you, Kenyon Brown, not only did he not interrogate me or ask me questions about if I said anything or not, now the question is why did he not call the chief to find out who needed to be interviewed? The question is, who was interviewed? Now, some of that information was redacted, right?
Right.
But nonetheless, somebody laid the groundwork.
Coming right back. Paul Prine right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:33 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Conversation with former police chief of Mobile, Paul Prine, in studio. Good to have him back. So you mentioned earlier that filing the first grievance, that was when?
That was in November, about mid-November,
okay,
2023.
Because in what you were saying earlier, you felt wheels started turning on this report at that point. What was the grievance about? Who was it about? What was the
material? The grievance was, in essence, going to be on James Barber, and it was. And I have a written portion of it, but considering his position and my position, if it was to be made public, I felt like that was embarrassing for all of us, including the mayor. And I called myself trying to handle it the appropriate way with the city attorney and certainly with the mayor, but I also addressed Barber about it as well. And it was really predicated on three things: the manipulation and lies that I had experienced over the last 2 years. At that particular time.
Who was lying to you?
Well, a lot of misrepresentations of what was really going on, and that was from James Barber. And a lot of it, in my opinion, had to do with manipulation and trying to control. It's kind of that idea, it's a power control, you know, that you feed from me, and a lot of veiled threats being made along the way. And then when that really got amped up around October, November of last year, this whole idea came up about a no vote of confidence. And if you don't know what that's designed to do, it's designed to shame the leader into stepping down. And of course, it goes goes into a lot of it. I've put that online, and mm-hmm. people can go and read it. But I've made that grievance to the mayor, and I even have a text from the mayor where the mayor, and this was November, on the same day that I filed the grievance against Barber, who told me, hey, come see me in my office, and I want you to know if for some reason you're going to resign, I will not accept your resignation, nor will I take it if you try to give it to me. And, of course, that gets into a whole other thing about what Barber told the mayor as to, you know, what my grievance was about. And I think, again, it was a manipulation to say, hey, the chief heard there was a no vote of confidence and he's trying to strategize his exit. But that was contrary to the truth.
So the mayor didn't maybe see the written grievance. It's, you and I talked about this last time. I'm trying to understand it because I've never been in a system like that. If you file a grievance against a person, even if it's a chain of command, that person should have to remove themselves from that discussion and should go to somebody else, right? Recuse themselves from
it. Well, they should recuse themselves. And Jim did try it a couple of weeks later when the mayor was out of town, tried to confront me with it, and I refused to talk with him. I thought that was highly inappropriate mm-hmm. to do such a thing. I think Ricardo went public and made a statement. There is a difference between merit employees and appointees. When I come out of the merit system, I no longer have those protections, okay?
Yeah, when you became chief, you leave from being merit to being appointed.
Or to appointee. Yeah. But nonetheless, OPR, the Office of Professional Responsibility, lays out for all employees what a process is, whistleblower process, what insubordination looks like, and this just does not pass the
insubordination.
The smell
test. They mentioned that. So what is talk about this?
Right. So you know, one, that's to defame and disparage me from future employment. Right. Who wants a problem child? Listen. Let me say this. No leader makes it to a position of leadership, in particular a position such as the chief of police, if they have been insubordinate throughout their career. Insubordination is a human flaw. It is a pattern and practice of an individual. And listen, let's
how long were you a police officer before you became the chief?
Right. So roughly about 26 years. Okay. And mm-hmm. so there was no pattern or practice about being right. insubordinate to anybody. In fact, the mayor didn't really know me. Jim Barber is the one that gave me the nod. And I would argue that what they did was took advantage of my humility and my professionalism in that. Had they really understood my character, they would have known not to ever have threatened me to leave to begin with.
Paul, so, I mean, okay, let me read through the lines here for a second. Do you think that the choice was made that you would become the police chief because of what they thought your personality was that would be
I think it's twofold. I really feel in my heart of hearts, Jim Barber knew me. He's known me for 20 years, and I've never worked directly for him, but he knew the type of work performance mm-hmm. and the work ethic that I had. I think there was an underestimation as to my character in that they would be able to control the things that they wanted to do. For example, along that 2.5 years, you know, conversations with the chief of staff about who would be promoted and not be promoted. And I didn't always go along with that mindset because my philosophy has always been when I leave the Mobile Police Department, I wanted to leave it better, certainly far better than I found it. There is a leadership style that surrounds itself with this authoritarian type, and that's really what this administration is from the mayor's office, in my opinion. Obviously, the threat letter is prime example of that. That statement the mayor made came from a conversation I had with Kenyon Brown on March the 20th when we were discussing about how discipline works when it comes to officers being guilty of using language or misconduct. And so as I talked about discipline, I made a statement in that conversation to the effect that there has to be a fear of consequence that officers don't go rogue or they don't go off the rails on you and go out there and mistreat the community. But that's one example of how manipulation and commission goes, is you take that information and then you paint this narrative about the guy because we really need that guy gone for no other reason but filing grievances and not being having full operational control over the tech center, which we hadn't even talked about.
Yeah, we'll get sure. to that. I want to come back to this. So the fact is you're being questioned about officers and their actions. You're saying there has to be consequences to actions,
right?
Right, which is how things work in anything. That's what,
right?
That works, you know. So because you said, which should be from what I read in Kenyon Brown's report, that should have been lauded because then you're saying, I'm doing these things to make sure officers are not going rogue and not violating civil liberties, because there's going to be a consequence if you do. Right? And listen, that's what you said to
him, right? Exactly what I said, but it's also what the mayor alluded to you yesterday when he says that ultimately he sees the discipline with these officers and the terminations, and he felt like that the leadership, including the chief, that's how I take it, can self-regulate and take care of themselves and hold people accountable. But yet I make a statement to that effect in the Kenyon Brown, right, and it's totally twisted and manipulated to do nothing more but defame the chief and say he's an authoritarian. Well, let me say this. Had I been that way over a practice of 26 years before becoming the chief, there's no way I would have became the chief.
But once again, it was the way you've described it, it should have been lauded, because what you were saying is this is
if you're holding people accountable.
If they're trying to figure out what you're doing in the community, and right, you're saying, well, in fact, if somebody goes and I'm paraphrasing, so sure, correct me, if somebody does that, officer does that, they're going to have to answer to me. There's going to be an effect to that, right?
That's exactly right.
And so that then gets turned around to say you have an authority.
That I openly admitted that I use fear tactics, much like I do with my children.
Well, when we boil things down and we take the pretty dress off something, that's what it is. Right? The reason I don't speed, now there are some things I don't do out there because morally wrong. Reason I don't speed
for
is I'm going to get
a ticket. It's going to affect your insurance. You got to pay money. You might even have to go to court depending on the
right
type of citation.
And so that is the
right
enforcement of the reason that an employee here shows up to work and doesn't just, you know, lay out,
right,
is because there's an enforcement. They would get fired or docked, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so there has to be a fear
that's frustrating
with anything. And so if you've read the report in particular, when you go to the last section about the chief of police, it's all opinionated. And I think Mr. Brown alluded to the fact that I attacked his report as somehow problematic and gives way to this idea that because of my action of attacking his report, somehow that's not a good leader. It's all opinion-based. And if you go further into his report, he goes on to address about how I used the police officers to intimidate and to pretty much cause the failure of the ordinance by Councilman Corey Penn, which tells me that there's collusion between the mayor's office and Mr. Brown, because Mr. Brown wasn't here during all that, and that is totally irrelevant other than just possibly there were some deals brokered on the back of the police department and maybe Mr. Penn, and we know Mr. Penn has not been very happy,
right,
because he keeps making comparisons. Well, the chief wants an investigation, but he didn't want us in his business with this ordinance. Those are two separate things, apples and oranges. These grievances and allegations I have made affect the people as a whole. It affects good governance, and they should see it as that and be willing to take it up as an investigation.
I'm always trying to figure out cart before horse where it was, but do you believe that Councilman Penn and others on the council asked for your removal, and this is how it was done?
Well, if you look at the severance letter that I was given on March 27th when all this started, it clearly states the council vote is there. And then, of course, some few weeks later, there's a unanimous vote without an investigation. Every single one of the counselors have made prejudicial statements about the chief of police being AWOL, treating the mayor
bad. What about that? That has been said that you were derelict of duty, AWOL,
sure.
There's a period of time you weren't coming in, address that.
Absolutely not. Absolutely false. Will be proven when the right time comes up. But this gets into my point. We have to be careful of what we say if we don't have direct or personal knowledge of an incident, because whether they intend to or not, they defamed me. They took whatever the mayor's administration told them as a matter of fact, and that shows collusion. Because if the administration or the council really wanted to know, the chief of police has not been investigated or questioned one time by the council or the administration in regards to the grievance, although the mayor calls my grievances frivolous. How can they be frivolous? And if they were frivolous, you didn't question the chief about it. You didn't come and say, "Chief, why are you looking at this situation in this way? Let us help you find some clarity."
You and I talked about that last time. You filed these grievances, and it's not that you didn't get the answer you wanted. You said you got no answer back.
I got no response, written or verbal.
And even if that response that would have said, well, you're all wet on this, or this is not right,
I'd have moved on about my business. But I do believe that this was around the same time we got the Brown report. And let me just simply say this about the Brown report. You know, the mayor's on an apology tour. Good for him.
He apologized yesterday.
Well, but he didn't apologize to me, and I'm not going to get an apology. But nonetheless, you know, the mayor says that he asked Kenyon Brown, is the department in a good position with leadership to carry on? And Mr. Brown somehow was able to give him the affirmative. Yes, it is. But keep in mind, it's the same staff and leadership that was pushing my strategic plan. So at the worst case scenario, if I'm such a bad leader, then why is any of the staff members still in their positions when they are the ones that carry out the day-to-day mission?
And also, this brought up this thought. Wasn't it that you were offered as part of, and I don't have it in front of me, but to be able to stay on in some kind of consulting role or something?
Yeah, so as a part of the severance, it was either take this or we're going to disparage you. And if I would have took the severance, they would have left me with all benefits and pay intact to November of 2025. And if the mayor went back in office, then I would continue into my anniversary date in April of 2026. Now, I'm not good enough to be the chief of police, but I'm good enough to keep me at my current rate of pay for 2 years.
Okay.
At the same rate of pay, it makes no sense. What it was designed to do was to shut me up, walk me out the door, and say, you don't say nothing. You signed this non-disparagement. Well, listen, at the end of the day, I was willing to part ways. If I have time, let me just say this. You know, I've heard some comments from people. Well, you know, if the boss doesn't like you, you need to leave. Well, in the private sector, I absolutely agree with that. But listen, when you become a leader in a government organization, you are bound ethically to bring up those things that appear to be improper. You have a moral obligation to do such a thing. This has nothing to do with me remaining to be the chief of police. It had everything to do that you threatened me, and if I didn't take the deal the way you wanted the deal to be structured, then we're going to just disparage you. What I asked for in the negotiations was, says, listen, you're shortchanging me. There's no way to stay on the payroll. You know, obviously you guys have spent taxpayer dollars not on one, two, but three different reviews to say the chief over the last 2 years is just bad leadership. But you didn't know that when you were singing my praises to the previous council to bring me in. That is problematic. And that goes to show with lies after lies after lies, they can't even get the lie right. I just have to be honest with you. If you look at what the mayor said yesterday, it's unfortunate the Brown didn't do a thorough investigation. Well, listen. If you bring in a witness in a court proceeding and that witness lies and gets caught lying about any one thing, the rest of that witness said in that court hearing is a right out lie. The same would be said for an officer. An officer would be giglioed. That's an official term. If he or she gets caught lying in court, they in essence lose their ability to testify in court, and in doing so, they have become defunct as a police officer. We always move
to
terminate them.
If you make a case, you have to go to the court.
Absolutely correct. And so I would argue that it's just been one lie. Yes, everybody said, okay, Prime said the Brown lied on him. Okay, fine. But then the staff's email got leaked, and apparently he made multiple lies on the staff. And then now we see that it's a complete farce when it comes to this educator. The Brown report is a farce, and shame on the mayor, in my opinion, and I say that with respect. He is the mayor. But he didn't know how much the report was going to cost. He has no idea how much is put in the legal funds every single year. I've been told that fund, that particular contract is open-ended, so I'm told at least $1.5 million. Now, I can't prove that, but I would argue that the invoices have not came in yet, and it would be far greater than $300,000.
You're saying $297,000, which is still $297,000, is not the end of it?
I would argue that it's probably not.
I want to ask this quick one before we go to the news.
Sure.
This is Deer on the text line. Says, as a condition of being made chief, the Mobile City Council required you to move into the city of Mobile. Obviously, you felt you were on rocky ground. How early in your job as chief did you feel you were at odds with the department staff and management?
Well, let me make some clarity on that. I don't know that it says that it's mandated the chief lives in the city of Mobile. One of the counselors who voted me in asked, was that an issue? And I said it was not an issue. My wife and I did look relentlessly for about 2 years to try to find something, but it is just a terrible market that we're in. But make no mistake about it. James Barber, the chief of staff, knew full well that I lived in Saraland the entire time, as did the previous fire chief. chief who lived across the bay. Now, if that is a requirement, they need to put that in as a requirement. But at the end of the day, there were a lot of conditions. And once I realized, especially since October of last year, there was no way I was going to move to the city and put all my eggs in one cart, knowing this administration was not going to support me.
All right, coming right back with Paul Prine on Midday Mobile, 343-0106 for the text line or a phone call.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:51, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and continue our conversation with Paul Prine, former chief of Mobile Police Department. I want to go to this one here on the text line. So somebody is, this is something we addressed earlier, but somebody asking again, this texter said, please remember the mayor said he did not use the report in firing the chief. Now, that's a question I asked Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson twice yesterday. He said he did not use it. And you answered that earlier, but can you answer again?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course, I heard the comment that he made yesterday. But if you go back to the City of Mobile's press release on April the 10th, the day after I was put on admin leave, the mayor emphatically stated that it was because I had said something that came out as a part of the preliminary investigation with the Brown report. And that has been the same sentiment he has spewed up until apparently yesterday, but it's also been the same sentiments that the city council has expressed over the last couple of weeks, especially before the Brown report came out, that they were waiting for the Brown report because somehow or another everybody put their eggs all in this Brown report, even despite me putting out all the conflicts of interest about the Brown report and what exactly what that Brown report was designed to do. And I think looking back 4.5 weeks later, unfortunately for me, everything I said it was going to do, it did.
So you're saying it did lead to your firing, where the mayor yesterday, yes, if y'all heard him, he said that that decision had been made before the Brown report.
Right, and I think the Brown report was simply used as a catalyst to say, hey, you know, they had to have a reason. Attrition's down nearly 50%, double digits down in violent crime 2.5 years, the best single crime reduction year in 23 since 1988. They would have been better off with Alabama being an at-will state, come and say, hey, Prine, we just want to go a different direction with you. Hey, we'll give you a couple of months maybe to, as the mayor says, give you a soft landing. Mm-hmm. But instead, you came out with threats. Then you gave me an opportunity to accept or refuse or counter the offer. And because you didn't like the counter, they leaked it to the media. And that's exactly how it went down.
Speaking of the Brown report, so Erica asking on the text line here, Chief, are there any other glaring inaccuracies in the Brown report that you've identified?
Oh, yes. Page after page. Brown actually went in and said that a staff member said that a police officer made a derogative statement about Mr. Dallas, one of the gentlemen in the six incidences last year that lost his life, unfortunately, and we extend our prayers and condolences certainly to the family. But he state that, as a matter of fact, that a police officer said that, and I was in the room when the investigator who was investigating that case walked in, and when they notified a family member that it was the family member that made the statement about Mr. Dallas and not the police officer. And so, you know, several of the laws that were quoted in that report, the federal laws, they were applied incorrectly. I mean, we could just go page after page after page. And then, of course, you know, we don't have to talk about how much we redacted the entire report. My philosophy is...
And the reasoning for the redaction was what?
They'll call it whistleblower, but just for your listeners, whistleblower status only is applicable to, there is an exception, but only to state and federal employees. It does not apply to municipal employees, even though there may be an administrative policy.
Okay.
Law does not cover that. And of course, there is an exception if you get into federal funding and things like that, and then you're covered. But nonetheless, the redaction, in my opinion, is because they got people to say things negative about the chief that maybe they shouldn't say. The question is, we didn't do a thorough investigation. We didn't find out if the chief's tone set the tone for the entire department. Why didn't we investigate officers across the entire department? There's 489 officers at the City of Mobile. How come we didn't didn't investigate that? How come we didn't get a true picture of what it is that the chief did that was so egregious? Here's the deal. I'm not even complaining so much about they walked me out the door. My issue is you're using, just like you did with the Operation Echo Stop third-party review, you're using taxpayer dollars to keep your hands clean as an administration to say that's the bad guy and we need him gone. And that is unfortunate. It's corruption at best. And there should be no rent. This is the reason the public does not trust government.
And you're saying that corruption is the having a third party, paying a third party to review something instead of doing it yourself.
Instead of doing it yourself. But it also gets into the ethical issues. You know, I made a grievance against the public safety director for trying to get one of my subordinates to write a false report to say that I did not support Operation Echo Stop when I had absolutely nothing to do with it, with the exception of one or two things, which was kind of a support role, which it should have been reversed. I mean, we could go on and on and on about it. The truth is, the mayor did use this report. The mayor did state this report was the reason to oust me out of a job.
All right. Before you do run out of time, I want to ask you this, because I said this to both of y'all, you and the mayor in that first week when you're both in. I'm a Mobile guy. This is my city. This is what I care about. A lot of personalities, a lot of people I know here, but the end result is I want the safest city, you know, to raise my family in.
Sure.
Is there anything that you could, any way to bridge this gap between the two of you? Any advice you could hand back to make sure that morale improves with MPD, yeah. Things are better for those of us here that are citizens.
Sure. Two things. Let me just say something about morale of the department. The men and women that I know at that police department, they're going to carry on.
Okay.
They're beat up right now, and rightfully so, but they're going to continue on. They really are the ultimate professionals. What I would extend is the olive branch to the mayor. He is the mayor, and he'll get that respect for that. Nonetheless, this isn't about Chief Prine anymore. Chief Prine's not going to be the chief of Mobile. He's done. He's gone. What I would suggest is that, and I would appeal again to the mayor on his faith in that, he can turn this thing around. I really believe people are forgiving. I believe Mobilians are forgiving. I think that the mayor can do a 180, turn this ship around. It's going to take moxie and courage.
The best mayor we've had
you're absolutely correct. But I do believe, in my opinion, he can turn this thing around, turn it around quick. But he's going to have moxie and courage, and he's going to have to separate with those in his inner circle and move forward. And unfortunately, my last conversation with the mayor on that very topic several weeks ago on the second offer, he declined it.
All right. Paul Prine, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
All right. Coming back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.